119, please. Just one verse there, Psalms 119, verse 30. I have chosen the way of truth. Thy judgments have I laid before me, or thy laws have I laid before me. So the psalmist is saying here, I've chosen the way of truth. See, God has given us truth. There's no doubt about that. And today, our life is full of choices more than ever. Every day, there's decisions we have to make. Choices have to be made. Basically, when you get down to it, there's two choices, right and wrong. You make a right choice or you make a wrong choice. Like making a right turn or a left turn. Right turn or wrong turn. You ever done that? So you know what I'm talking about. So we need to make choices to pray, to study, to put God first in our life, because He's supposed to be the first one in our life. And it's a choice to live faithfully to Him based on the light that you have. In other words, you've got to be faithful to God, to the light, to the knowledge, the truth that you have. So whatever you have, I mean, the question comes back, are you basically following that truth? Like He said, I've chosen the way of truth. Are we doing that? It's silent. Is that a sign of something? The silence is telling me that you're not choosing the right ways? Well, there's two pathways. There's a choice to depart from the truth, or there's a choice to stay with the truth, continue with it. And only you can make that choice. Like there's two pathways. I mean, you allow your feelings to dominate you and control you, or you allow God's word to be the predominant influence in your life and your decisions. So whenever you come to some situation, I mean, every temptation offers a choice, does it not? And you have to make a decision, a choice to obey or disobey. And the word chosen here in this particular verse in Psalms 119, verse 30, is the same as in Joshua chapter 24. He says, choose whom you will serve. The word means basically a choice. It implies a careful examination to prove something. So when you look at God's word, you have to look at it and you have to check it out, see what He's saying, ask yourself some questions. So this implies a very careful examination before you choose. Now, a lot of times we're just kind of like you mall shopping or something, window shopping. We go around and we look at things and we make decisions sometimes real quick that are at our whim. You know, just careless. We got maybe an extra buck in our pocket or whatever, so we want to spend the money, and so we're going to buy it. We don't stop to think of the consequences. So we buy it. You ever bought something, then you saw it cheaper? I was at Green Top one time. I saw these little light switches that had little batteries in them. I thought it was pretty neat. Two of them for $14. I thought that was pretty good. I mean, that's $7 and something a piece. So I wanted to put them in my gun room in my safe because I had no light in there. I couldn't put them in there because they had Velcro on them, and they also had screws you could use. And I put them in there so I could cut the light on so I could see better. Then I went to Walmart and saw them for $2.50. So that tells you something about Walmart. Same thing. So you see, I made a choice out of a whim because something I liked. I thought it was cool. I thought it was neat. It was a gadget. But then I go to Walmart and I saw the same thing. I could have bought four or five of them for the same price. And that's the way it is. That's life. So you make those kind of decisions. But how often do we take the time to examine something before we decide? See, if I would have just said, well, I'll keep that in my mind, and then I'll look around a little bit, and I should have thought, I'll go look at Walmart because they have some pretty good deals sometimes. I'm not advertising for them. I'm not getting paid for that. I ought to, but anyways, do you go buy a car and just buy it at the whim? No, you don't. Usually, what do we do with the car if we go look at it? Used car or new car? Well, the first thing we're going to look at is the price tag, right? Then the next thing we're going to do, if we like it, it's something that seems to be drawing our attention, we're going to say, can I test drive it? Isn't that what we do? Or do you just say, okay, I'll buy it, here's the money? No, you're going to test, you want to drive it down the road. Make sure it's not rattling, the engine's not going to fall out, transmission's okay, all those kind of things. That doesn't guarantee anything, because sometimes you still may have a problem. But it is a wise thing to do. So we take the time to examine it before we buy it. What will it cost me? Can I afford it? I mean, we think about that. How will this affect my family, the spending of the money? How will it affect my finances? I mean, will it cause somebody else to maybe be bothered with the fact that I bought a new car? Now, that, I can't be bothered by that all the time, but sometimes you might want to consider that, because some people can't afford a whole lot, and then when you go do something like that, it may make them look at you a little differently. But God commands us to make a choice who and what we will obey, whether we will do it His way or whether we will not. Deuteronomy chapter 30, over in the Old Testament, tells us here, verse 15, "See, I have set before you this day life and good, death and evil." So God has set it before us. "And that I command thee this day to love the Lord thy God, to walk in His ways, to keep His commandments and His statutes, His judgments, that thou mayest live and multiply, and the Lord thy God shall bless thee in the land where thou go to possess it. But if thine heart turn away so that thou will not hear, but shall be drawn away and worship other gods and serve them, I denounce you this day that you shall surely perish, and you shall not prolong your days upon the land, whether thou possessed over Jordan to go to possess it. I call heaven and earth record this day against you that I have set before you life and death, blessing and cursing. Therefore choose." Choose. So you see, God gives you the opportunity to make the choice. It's a choice of your will. It's not feelings. It's not emotions. But God still gives us that privilege and that opportunity to make that when it comes to certain things that He reveals to us. So choose that you might obey His voice. "Choose life, and both thou and thy seed may live, that thou mayest love the Lord thy God, and thou mayest obey His voice, thou mayest cleave unto Him, for He is thy life." That is an interesting phrase. "In the length of thy days thou mayest dwell in the land where the Lord swear unto thy fathers, Abraham, and to Isaac, and to Jacob, to give them." So God has given us all of this. It belongs to us. So every choice I make sets into motion something that's going to happen. There will be a consequence, right? Every choice you make has a consequence. If you make a choice to spend your paycheck on trivial things and not pay your bills, what's going to be the consequence? Bill collectors going to be knocking on the door, or the phone's going to be ringing. "Hey, we need the money." Or you're going to get a past due notice. You're going to get a finance charge. You're going to pay the consequences. That's what happens. We know that very well. And so we don't always take the time to really think about these kind of things, because the Bible tells us, as we know in Galatians chapter 6, whatever a man sows, he reaps. So if we sow foolishness like that and wasteful time and wasteful money and whatever it is, we're going to reap. But John 8:32 says, "You'll know the truth," which we're supposed to lay before us and choose the right way, and then you will have life and blessing. That's what comes from choosing the right things. I mean, you'll be free. But Proverbs 26:2 says, "The curse doesn't come without a cause." So there are blessings and cursings. I mean, that is the reality of life, whether we like it or not. And when we make wrong choices, sometimes we, you know, God allows us to, things go, time goes by. Clock ticks, tick, 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 tick. Months go by, maybe years, nothing happens. You know, you get comfortable in your lifestyle. You think it's okay. God doesn't bother God. I mean, He's not doing anything. I don't know what you might be thinking, but that's kind of the thing that comes to your mind. But you see, God still hasn't forgotten. Because what you sow is what you're going to reap. And so if you're making bad choices, you can be sure of one thing. It's going to come back on you somewhere along the line. In 1 John 3:4 in the New Testament, it tells us about what sin is. Sin is a transgression of the law. Now, when we speak of that, we're speaking about the Exodus chapter 20, the Ten Commandments, which tells us about thou shalt have no other gods before me. In other words, our loyalty to God. God is to be first. Then in the next one, he tells us about a worship of God, having no other images, no other gods. In other words, we're not supposed to worship anything other than God. We talked about that the other day in worship. No image of anything in the likeness that's in heaven above, that is in earth beneath, that is in the water, or whatever it might be. And then he tells us, respect God, not taking the Lord's name in vain. Now, that can be done in a lot of ways. A lot of people say, oh, God, in excitement sometimes. We do those things sometimes and catch ourselves. But at the same time, that's not respect for the name that's most important to us when we take it lightly. Well, you hear people say all the time, oh, Jesus. They say it in a derogatory kind of way. You ever heard people do that? Sure you have. And so they're really taking God's name in vain, I would say. And then we got that remember the Sabbath, which is another commandment. So God wants us to remember his word. Then respect for authority. I mean, you honor your mother and your father. Now, you young people can think about that. Because if you're not respecting them, then what's going to come back up on you? Well, you want to prolong your days? Because that's the only promise you have in the Old Testament. As it says in the New Testament, in Ephesians chapter 6, that comes with the promise of long life. And so when you get older and older, you begin to realize why God has given you long life. It's because you did what God required of you. Then the sanctity of marriage, thou shalt not commit adultery. Now, that is a very important thing. It's not just that people go out and do the actual act as much as it is, like he says in the Sermon on the Mount, do not look on another woman to lust after her, because then you've committed it in your heart. And it goes the other way too. Women looking at men. That's the society we live in, like it or not. Matter of fact, they have formed a new word. It's not just heterosexual or homosexual or bisexual, but there's pornosexual now. That's how bad it is, because that's what people's mind is on. So they call them pornosexuals, because that's what their life is like. And so that's what you call breaking of these particular laws. And he says, I laid these before me, these judgments, these laws, and I keep them. Matter of fact, the next verse in Psalms 119 says, he stuck with them. We'll come back to that in a minute. Then he talks about, thou shalt not bear false witness against thy neighbor. In other words, telling the truth. No lying, no fabrication of the truth, no excusing or concealing or hiding things. And then the last one is contentment. Don't covet anything that belongs to your neighbor. Not his chainsaw, not his file, not his pots and pans, her pots and pans. Not her car, not his car. Don't covet them. Covet none of those things. And so this is where God is commanding us to do these things, because choose life or death. And then it says in James 4:17, he says, he that knoweth to do good and does not do it, to him it is sin. Now that's making it a little broader, because he's saying that a person who has the knowledge of what is right and yet he won't do what is right, to him, personally, to him as an individual, it is now a sinful thing. And sin is transgression. Sin is something that it cuts you off in your relationship with God. You want God to hear your prayers? Sure we do. Well, that tells us we got to confess our sins and forsake them if we want to prosper. Proverbs 28, verse 13. And so, but some people conceal these things. They won't do that, and therefore there's trouble in their life. But this all started back in Genesis chapter 3 when God commanded Adam and Eve to look over all the garden and take care of it. He commanded them not to eat of the tree of knowledge of good and evil. But then the devil came in and began to stir up their lust and desires and says, well, has God said? So he begins to question God, draws Eve into this whole thing, and then she is deceived to begin to eat of that tree of knowledge of good and evil and talks her husband into it. And that's where the fall comes from. That's why we're here today. So you can have everything in the garden except this one thing. So they're warned if they eat, they will surely die. Well, I don't think there's any different for us if we eat of the fruit the world's offering us versus the truth that God has given us. Are we not opening the same door and going down the same road? Making those wrong decisions in our life, bringing consequences later to us that we don't know why they're there. Because it might be years that goes by before something happens. And we wonder, what happened? Well, it goes back maybe sometimes 5, 10, 15 years. And the older you get, the longer you can be. Where something you sowed back there is now coming back on you. And so what Isaiah said is very true too, because Isaiah, as we quoted before, how that he was... the ox knows his crib, but Israel does not know his master. But he says this in verses 18 and following. Come now, let us reason together, saith the Lord. Though your sins be as scarlet, they shall be as white as snow. Though they be red like crimson, they shall be as wool. If ye be willing and obedient, you shall eat of the good of the land. Just willing and obedient. Because it takes a tender heart, a will that's surrendered to God's truth, to just simply, I choose his way. I choose this truth. But if you refuse and rebel, you shall be devoured with a sword. So it's the same thing, blessing or curse. So we see this all through the Bible in various different passages that tell us about the importance of making a choice. Because every choice we make is a choice to obey God or to reject him, to disobey. And we know what disobedience is. It's basically rebellion. You refuse to do what God says. And sometimes it's just this attitude within us, I don't have to do that. Or God's not watching. Or it's no big deal. Whatever it goes through our mind, we seem to let those things have a control over us. So we choose basically blessing or curse, life or death. Do you ever think of it that way? What's going on in your life? I mean, that you're choosing something that's going to bring some kind of consequences in your life? That's why we are to fear God and respect him with all of our hearts. David chose to commit adultery and then hide it with murder. And you know what? The sword never departed his house. I mean, that was devastating to him. The choice had an effect upon his whole life here while he was here on this earth. I mean, he saw his, through that relationship with Bathsheba, the child died. That was a loss to him. He mourned and grieved over that. The prophet came to him and told him that he was the man. You did it. But it was his choice and had effect upon his whole life. The sword never departed his house. Can you imagine living like that where the sword never departs your house? That something always is going wrong? I wouldn't want that. I mean, every time you turn around, something's going wrong. Washing machine breaks down, the dryer breaks down, air conditioner. I mean, those things will go bad sooner or later. So we don't have to say that's why it happens, but sometimes it just happens arbitrarily. And when that's happening all the time, you're thinking something's not right. Trouble, a car breaks down, flat tires, blah, 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 blah. I mean, you just keep on like it, and you have trouble after trouble, and you're wondering, what is going on? Did you stop and think about it to examine it, to search it out? Because it can happen. So the some choices have an eternal effect upon us. Look at Judas. He chose to covet, and for 30 pieces of silver, he betrayed Jesus. And what happened to him? Well, he got caught, and he went out and he hung himself. That's the effect. That's the effect of the curse. You look at Demas, and was it 2 Timothy 4:10? It says, Demas has forsaken me, loving this present world. Now, all he did was love the present world. I mean, he had the kind of love for the world you should have for God. And because he had that in a wrong kind of way, it began to draw him away from God. Because that's what it did. It drew him away. And he departed. That's why people usually leave, is because there's something drawing them away. You can blame it on the devil if you want to, but James tells us a man is drawn away by his own lust. So there's something within man called his own appetites that have a way of drawing him away and luring him and enticing him like a bait does a fish until it captures him. And then when lust has conceived, it brings forth death or curse. There's the results that comes in your life. And so you have to consider those kind of things. We all do, because it's important. But these people all had the truth before them. Judas certainly walked with the truth himself. Jesus says, I am the way, the truth, and the life. And Judas was with him all the time. Look at Ananias and Sapphira. Collusion. You want collusion? The Democrats are doing nothing compared to what they did. And look what happened to them. Snuffed out. Judgment came on the church. Right there, they dropped dead. I mean, that is immediate judgment that happens. If we saw that happening here, I mean, I think we would be scared to come to church. It might not be a bad thing. I think it might help us get things better off in our life. But these people had the truth. They knew right from wrong. They made a choice to disobey God by their own selfishness. They allowed the circumstances to overcome them. And I don't surprise me that that's happening to some people here. I mean, I can understand where some people can get themselves in a situation and it can be bad, and then something comes along that maybe entices them and draws them in a direction, and then they get snared. And they start going in that direction slowly and gradually, and then before you know it, it's captured them. And when it captures them, it doesn't let them go easy. It becomes a hard decision to break. In Numbers chapter 13 and 14, we have the 12 spies that went out to spy out the land. We know about that. Heard about it all of our lives. And they went out and they saw the land. They brought back the fruit to show the evidence of it and said, this land is full of plenty. Look at the evidence of it. But then there was 10 of them that said, we're not able to go in there. We saw the giants. We can't go in there. They're bigger than we are. But there were two men that made the right choice. So we're well able to overtake them because God has given us a land. So two people made a decision based upon the truth that was revealed to them, and 10 made a decision upon what they saw in the circumstances, in the situation. There you go. They didn't cling to the truth. And then when you read in chapter 14, you see there where God says, I've heard in my ears, and because of this, you're not going to enter into the land. And everybody that's 20 and above, you're going out. You're down. You're out. You're going to wander for 40 years and die in the wilderness. So maybe that's why a lot of people just wander around the life a lot and never really get anywhere, is because they basically have done the same thing that these 10 spies did, and they begin to influence the whole congregation by their murmuring and complaining. That's serious stuff. And so you look at these two attitudes. So we get to make a choice, the right choice or the wrong choice. We get to make choices like the 10 spies. We get to make choices like Joshua and Caleb, to follow the Lord, to obey him, to choose the right thing. But if we're going to murmur against God, we're going to get ourselves in trouble. You look at Daniel chapter 3 and verse 16 in the context, we see the three Hebrew children, how they made the right choice. We will not bow down to your image. You can shout all you want to. You can sound the trumpets and the cymbals and do all you want to. We're not bowing down. For our God is able to deliver us. But even if he does not deliver us, O Nebuchadnezzar, O king, we will not bow down. Now that's making a real serious choice in their life. And maybe that's something that might come to us in the future. I don't know. It's a principle that's in the Bible, and we can't let it go, something, let it slide by and say, that's not important, because I think it is. Because those are decisions that we have to make sometimes. You look at the consequences of sin. I mean, look over in 1 Corinthians chapter 6 in the New Testament, where he tells us about the effects that come on people. 1 Corinthians chapter 6 and verse 9. Know ye not that the unrighteous shall not inherit the kingdom of God? Now, who's not going to inherit the kingdom of God? The unrighteous. Be not deceived. So don't be deceived. What is deceived? It's a person who's basically being led astray. He's wandering off the pathway. He's getting away from the choices that are laid before him. Don't be deceived. Be not deceived, neither fornicators. Now that's the person that's out there involved in a wrong relationship, having sex before marriage, or even somebody who's having premarital sex, or somebody who's having extramarital sex. That is a problem. Idolaters, adulterers, we all know what that is. Nor effeminate, nor abusers of themselves with mankind, nor thieves, nor covetous, nor drunkards, nor revelers, nor extortioners shall inherit the kingdom of God. So he's very clear. He starts with, they shall not inherit the kingdom of God. He finishes, they shall not inherit the kingdom of God. Very clear about it. There is no ambiguity about that whatsoever. And he lists the sins. And then he says this, and such were some of you. And how true that is. I mean, some of these things could all apply to us. And he says, such were some of you, but you're washed, you're sanctified, but you're justified in the name of the Lord Jesus by the Spirit of our God. So God has set us apart from these things, even though we were involved. So our past is really something that's covered because of those past sins. But he's still telling us those people will not inherit the kingdom of God. And he says the same thing in Galatians chapter 5 about the various different lusts of the flesh. All that do such like things shall not inherit the kingdom of God. In other words, they're going to be out. They're not going to make it in. They're going to be left behind. We could say it that way. So he mentions all these things. Then you read Deuteronomy chapter 18 where he tells us there in the context, I think it's verse 9, 10, 11, and 12, about witchcraft. All those various occult practices, fortune telling, horoscope, magic. Things like that that people get themselves involved in. I mean, people think they can read the horoscopes and get some kind of guidance. Are you ignorant enough to believe that? Because once you open that door up, then you're letting a spirit come into your life. And believe me, people dabble in that stuff because they're curious. That's why it's called curious arts. Matter of fact, in Acts chapter 19, verse 19, it speaks about how they brought all these curious arts, and they had these books, and they took them and they burned them. And it says in the Greek, but they piled pile upon pile upon pile, and it was what, 30,000 pieces of silver. That's a lot of money. So that's what they involved. And that word, curious art, interestingly, is rooted to busybodies. People who meddle in other people's business. Nosy. Believe me, that happens. And when people start doing that, they're basically in the magic arts. They're doing the same thing as an occult person would do. Sorceries and divination and stuff like that. The same spirit is involved with that thing. And so you got to be careful with this stuff. People go out and get themselves into gambling and bring debt into their life and bring all kinds of tragedy in their life. They can't pay their bills. I mean, people, how many people go to the lottery and buy this constant? You say, every time I walk into a store, people are over there buying the lottery tickets. I can't believe what I'm seeing. I mean, some of them get $20, $30, $40 worth of stuff like that. Now, where are they getting that money from? I think some of them just cash their Social Security check. They're wasting their money. Gambling it away. For what? For somebody out there who's just going arbitrarily somewhere along the line, they're going to hit the number and get the money. They're out of everything. But somebody else got it. A lot of people get a lot of heartaches in their life because they misuse their credit cards and get their whole life in debt. And then they just run it up to the point that they got to catch up now. And they get, I've dealt with people over the years, $20,000, $30,000, $40,000 on credit card. I can't imagine to have that much money on a credit card. That's a lot of money. You know how long it takes you to pay that off? A long time. You might as well get a mortgage. 20, 30-year mortgage. But this is what happens to people that get those things. I mean, what happened to Cain? He was a murderer. We know what happened to him. He was shut out. What happened to Gehazi, Elijah's servant? Because he coveted. Leprosy came upon him. So you see, there's consequences. When we go in a certain direction, something's going to come back up on us. Ahab and Jezebel, nothing but trouble in their life. I mean, we know that the dogs licked them up in the streets. But Psalms 119 and verse 30 says, I've chosen the way of truth and laid them before me. Is it God in all of my decisions? In other words, I've taken God's word, I set it down, and I read it, and this is a guide to my life. This is how God basically guides us. This is a fundamental principle of the Christian life. What does the word say about life? What does he say about marriage? What does he say about raising your children? What does he say about ethics and morals? What does he say about testimony, witnessing? What does he say about those things? He says a lot about them. So David made them his life. That's what he's saying. Psalms 119, verse 30. He set them before him as his aim and goal of life. Do we do that? Is our choice always to look and see what God says, and this is my aim in life? This is what I want for my family. This is what I want for my life. This is my choice. Because it is my choice. I can choose to refuse it, or I can choose to receive it. The latter is the better. Deuteronomy chapter 32 and verse 47, look what he says here again. For the sixth verse, he said unto them, set your hearts unto all the words which I testify among you this day, which you shall command your children to observe and to do all the words of this law. So how many of us have taken time to set our children down and show them what God is saying, to observe the law? For it is not a vain thing for you. It's not something that's useless. Because it is your life. What is? The word. It's your very life. And though this thing, through this thing, you shall prolong your days in the land whether you go over to Jordan to possess it. So you're going to prolong your days by taking God's word and obeying it, applying it to your life. That's a good thing. It's not a bad thing. I mean, everybody's trying to find a way to prolong their life, and there's one way you can do it. It's God's way. David made him his life. He set him before him, and he tells us what we're supposed to do. So there's, you know, Luke chapter 10, we know the story about Martha and Mary, how Martha was all encumbered and distracted by all the things around her, but Mary was sitting down at Jesus' feet to hear the word. And Jesus pointed out to Mary, Mary has chosen the good part, and that will not be taken away from her. So it's up to us to choose. If we are doing the same thing that Mary is doing, not being distracted and encumbered by everything around us, and we choose God's word, then we will also, it'll not be taken away from us. It'll be the very thing that guides our life. And so when we look at the lifestyle, we see there's spiritual people and there are carnal people. Worldly people and people who are really dedicated to God. You know, and the Bible tells us in Romans 8, verse 6, that the carnal man, his life is death. Spiritual man is life and peace. So again, it's there in the New Testament too, all over. I mean, Proverbs 3 and verse 31. Envy not oppressor. Don't envy a person who's an oppressor. Choose none of his ways. So it's speaking of his success in life through deceit and deception. Because this man has made a success out of life because he's oppressed and connived and deceived people. So he's become rich. And you see a lot of people like that in life. That they have got their money unethically, by lying and cheating in life. That's basically how they've got it. So they get it not through honest gain, but dishonest gain. You know, you look at the drug dealers today and the deceitfulness out there that's going on, people making money off of people, lying and cheating. It goes on all the time. And that's how they make their money. Proverbs 1:10 says, if a sinner entice thee in the way, consent thou not. So somewhere in life we have to start making our choices on this basis. When somebody begins to try to entice us in a certain direction, we got to raise our hand and say, nope, see you later, bye. I mean, we have to get away from those people because if we don't, we're going to get in trouble. So we see that parents make choices a lot of times to allow their children to have computers and cell phones and stuff like that. Because a lot of times today we see that there's a whole lot of temptations out there that are powerful. Look at the social media. Cell phones, the internet, Facebook. Let me ask you parents something. Let me ask all of you something. Do you know who's on your... I understand you have to friend people on Facebook, right? But do you know who they are? Only way you can look, you have to look at there and see who they're friends with, and maybe there are some association. But do you know who they really are? Because let me tell you what goes on out there. There's people out there that use false names. And they want to get into your information. Why do they want to do that? Because they're deceitful. They're trying to find out something about you. Sometimes there are people that you would think that are Christians that wouldn't do that, but they are. And I got proof of it. So I'm going to tell you something right now. You parents need to go home and check out your children's Facebook and check out your Facebook, and if there's anybody in there that's strange, you don't know who they are, you better check them out and see who they are, because they're trying to find out something about you. And why are they trying to do that? Well, why do you think? They want to find out something in order to probably say something about it, to gossip, the busybody, the meddle. That's what they want to do. So that's where we got to be careful when we see, the text messaging and everything else that goes on, slang terms used. Parents should allow their children to cell phones, unchecked access to all of this stuff. The parents never look at it. Do you ever pick up your child's cell phone and he says, no, 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 no? Now, why would he do that? That would be a telltale sign. So I would go home and say, let me see your cell phone. Oh, Dad. Yeah, it's going to be old you if you don't give it to me. I paid the bill. Let me see it. And check it out. And I'll tell you what, that'll keep them in check themselves. Okay, it's gotten quiet. So when you make a choice to go astray, that's what you're doing. You're walking away from God because you made the choice, and you're going down the wrong direction. You never know if you'll ever come back. You just don't ever know. So the choices you make today, right now, today, it's a choice of your will. It's an honest choice. Important choices. Choices we make, we have to be very wise. So I want to give you some choices. Choose to serve God. Joshua 24 and verse 16. Choose this day whom you will serve. So you have to choose to serve God on His terms. That's the choice that you get. It's your freedom of choice. Make a decision. And nobody can make it for you. Your children get to make it as much as your parents do. So it's up to you to make the right decision. Matthew 6:24 is very clear to us about no man can serve two masters, for either he will love the one and hate the other. You cannot love both God and mammon. You can't have both. You can't have it both ways. But a lot of people want it both ways. You can't have it both ways. It's one or the other. It's a choice. It's a simple but hard choice, yes. Sometimes it's very, very difficult. But it's your choice to make, and the consequences will come back depending on what you make. Matthew 6:24 is very clear. So a lot of times it's either God or itself is what it amounts to. Because a lot of times we allow ourselves to get in the way, and we want to make our decisions what makes us feel good and what we're going to get out of something and how it's going to benefit us. That's what's more important to us than anything else. So God-centered choices are important because God has a purpose for your life. So either you believe God has a plan for your life and a purpose, and you're willing to look what He has laid before you, so you can make the right decision. Because who are you going to marry? Where are you going to work? I mean, what's your future going to be? Nobody knows the future but God. And God has given you principles by which you can find. He guides you in life. That's why He tells you in Romans 12, lay your life down as a living sacrifice. Learning His will, which begins to point you in the right direction. Doors begin to open. Things begin to happen for you. And that's good. But a lot of times you can go down the wrong pathway because you don't ponder the path of your feet. You don't look at the Word of God. You don't consider His way. So you choose to set your selfish will and desires aside and choose to put God first above everything. That's what's got to come first. What does God want from me? What is God's will? What does God say about this? Because He has something to say. Psalms 119, verse 30. I've chosen the way of truth. I laid them before me. In other words, he's saying that I've laid them as a way of finding out what God has for me, the pathway of life. I made them my life. I set them before me as my whole goal of life. Like Deuteronomy 32:47. It's your life. It prolongs your days. That's a good thing. Even Proverbs 4:20 gives us the same principle in another way, but it gives it to us. My son, attend unto my words, incline thy ear unto my saying. So he's telling us here, I want your undivided attention to my word. Read them, see what he says. Incline thy ear unto my sayings. That implies giving a complete, total, humble attitude to God with no prejudices about what God is saying. You know, we have preconceived notions. We think we know what life is about. People want to argue with you about what you believe about certain things or push things on you. But what does God say? Let them not depart from their eyes. In other words, you got to keep them there. Focus on what God says. Sometimes you have to stay really focused. For their life unto all those, keep them in the midst of your heart. Why? Because their life unto all that find them and health or medicine to all thy flesh. And keep thy heart with all diligence, for out of it are the issues of life. And so when you do that, you have God's word before you. You have something that will guide you and direct you, that will give you the right, lay out the right choices before you. And then again, we have Psalms chapter 1, where it tells us, blessed is the man that don't walketh in the counsel of the ungodly, nor sitteth in the seat of the sinner, nor standeth in the way of the scorner. But this man's delight, his pleasure, is in the law of the Lord. And what is he doing? He's meditating in it, pondering in it day and night, rolling it over in his mind over and over again, because it means something to him. I think a lot of times we're not doing that. We're letting it just go by the wayside. So what you set before you will influence your choices in life. Because you know what? Every choice you make reveals your character. It reveals something about who you are. Your integrity, your loyalty, your positive testimony, your truthfulness, your humility, your teachableness. Everything you do, it reveals something about you. You know what 2 Corinthians 3 says about all this? You're known and read of all men. Now, would you like to know what people think of you? I mean, what do people say about you? Do they think you're nuts? Do they think you're a religious weirdo? Because some people believe that. Do they think you're crazy? Well, I know some people probably think we are because we speak in tongues, but that's not what I'm talking about. Because you don't go in a grocery store speaking in tongues, do you? No, you don't. That's not the proper place. But people will think you're crazy. Sometimes people go out there and try to push their testimony on people. That's not what we're supposed to do. We're supposed to live the truth. Because it's in living the truth, it's when people are drawn to God. They see something. They see light. They see salt. They see something that's morally right about you, that's something they don't see in other people. And it influences their thinking. It draws them. That's what you want to happen. It's interesting, he says in Psalms 119, verse 31, I stuck with him. This word stuck with him is used of Ruth joining with Boaz's maidens. To abide with, used of a man clinging to his wife. This is somebody that really holding on to something. Stuck with them. So we take God's word and we're going to stick with it, aren't we? Or are we just going to hang on for a little while and give up? Or are we going to stick with it? Getting tired of it? No, we're going to stick with it. Not like Ananias and Sapphira did, because you don't want to stick with somebody like that. Because they colluded. They lied. They cheated. And what did God do to them? He judged them. So this is what God wants us to make the choices of. Then Psalms 119. Choose to remain pure. Now, how can you do that? Only one way. Psalms 119, verse 9. Wherewithal shall a young man cleanse his way? By taking heed thereunto according to thy word. Verse 11. Thy word have I hid in my heart that I might not sin against thee. Now either the word will keep you from sin, or sin will keep you from the word. Which is it for you? How many of you are avoiding the truth because there's something, a flaw, we would call it, something that is sinful, something that is a weakness? We call, got all kinds of names for it. But it keeps us away from the Bible. It keeps us away from the Word. It keeps us from church because there's something not right. And that's why we find ourselves distracted so much and not interested in what God has to say. I mean, we've made mistakes in the past, and God is forgiven. Thank God for that, because nobody in here is perfect. Nobody claims to be. Do they? We all know where the mistakes are in our own life, and we're sorry that those things ever happened. But we don't live in the past, because those things are forgotten, and God says, I remember them no more. Thank God he doesn't bring them back up. So whatever is keeping you from purity, you've got to make some choices about getting away from it. Maybe you are in the wrong place with associations. Maybe there's people you identify with that you run around with. Young people have a lot of decisions to make, especially today, in the hour in which we live, because of all of the filth and the various different options, you can say, that are out there in this world that's given to them to apply. You lay God's word before you, you seek his counsel and his will, and you follow him on his terms. So you find out where God wants you to go to church. You find out what kind of job God has for you. You find out who God wants you to marry. You find out who God wants you to be friends with. And that's where you go, because you want to be around those people. At least I would think that would be true, because what you read and watch and listen to will influence your choices. There's no doubt about that whatsoever. I mean, if you Galatians chapter 6 and verse 7, be not deceived. Don't be deceived again, he said, because he says there very clearly to us about whatever, you know, God is not mocked. Whatever man soweth, he shall reap. So you're not going to mock God by your immoral, worldly lifestyle and then try to go to church and pretend you're something you're not. If you want to be involved with the liberals, the music, the talk shows, and the way of the world, that's not going to help you a bit. And so you got to make a choice to be pure. That's not an easy choice today, because there's so much impurity that's thrown about before us everywhere you go. Radio, TV, books, bookstores. I mean, there's nothing good in those places. A lot of Christian bookstores are closing. Why is that happening? Because people are not interested in God no more. We're living in a world and society that's just decaying. It's becoming immoral. I mean, it's the end times. It's getting worse and worse and worse, as the Bible says in 2 Timothy. And so we also have to choose to trust God. Can't leave that out, because that's what God wants us to make a choice. Because every one of us can do that. You can make a choice, I'm going to trust God no matter how hard it gets, no matter how hard it is. It's your choice. I mean, Luke 1:37, when he spoke to Mary about the virgin birth, said, with God nothing shall be impossible. Let it be unto me according to thy word, was her answer. Let it be unto me according to thy word. That's all we have to do. David said similar things in the Old Testament. And he said to the man who had that son that was all thrown himself in the fire, he says, if you can believe, nothing shall be impossible to you. Nothing. Now, I'm just saying what God says. I mean, sometimes we don't have the answers why things don't work, but we have to stay with what God has revealed to us, because what's revealed to us belongs to us and to our children. That's all we have. We don't have nothing else. That's all we have. But you find what he says to them about Israel in Psalm 78, how they limited the Holy One of Israel. Now, how did they limit the Holy One? Unbelief, rebellion, refusal to do his that way. They didn't want to do things on God's terms. They just turned away from him. They didn't want to trust him. Psalm 62, verse 8 says, trust in the Lord at all times. So there's never a time that you cannot trust God. Every opportunity you find yourself, every temptation, every difficulty, every financial trial, physical trial, problems, whatever they are. And believe me, there's a mountain of them right now in my way. But all you've got to do is believe God and trust him to guide you and direct you, give you wisdom, direction, and he will do it. Proverbs 3, verses 5 and 6, trust in the Lord with all your heart. We all know that passage. Lean not to your own understanding, because that itself is a curse. But trust in the Lord with all your heart, and he will direct your paths. Now, we either believe that or we reject it. It's one of the two. It's up to you to make that decision. Hebrews 11, they all trusted God and they were blessed. I don't see any of them that wouldn't. They all got a good report. A lot of them had some hard times and difficulties, but again, they got a good report, and that's all we want at the end, is to be able to make it. They overcame, they triumphed in every circumstance. And we have to also, I mean, this is so serious. Take up a cross. You know what that is, don't you? You know what that little thing is, that little emblem everybody wears around? God says this, this is the way, walk in it. And you say, no, I want to go this direction. Uh-uh, ain't going to work that way. You're making a wrong decision. And God is going to put before you some decisions that might be hard. Some choices we're all going to have to make in our lives that are going to be Okay, we're back on. Look at that. How to quick with that. Boy, that man's getting faster. In his old age, too. You keep them right over there plugged up. Look at that, Keith. You see where they are? All right. Good. All right. But we all have to take up that cross, and that means we simply have to make a choice to deny ourselves. The one thing we don't like to do often is deny ourselves. Because self is the thing that keeps us from doing what God wants us to do. But that's up to you to make that decision. All through the Bible, Luke chapter 9, Luke chapter 14, Matthew 16, 24. Take up your cross, deny yourself. Why? So you can follow him on his terms. Because as long as you're in the way, God's not going to be the way, the truth, and the life. Because you're in the way. I said it the other day. I said, our worst enemy is us. We're our worst enemy. So we have to make that choice to take up a cross. And when God lays something before us and says, this is a decision you have to make, what would you say? I mean, I don't know what you're going through, but if God were to lay it before you, what would you say? Oh, I don't think I can do that. Oh, you're wrong about this. You would probably start excusing yourself or arguing, but then God has something to say to you. What if a prophet were to come to you and lay it out very clearly to you, as he did to David more than once, and lay it before you and said, this is what I want you to do. Make a choice. What would you do then? Would you do what he said? You think you would, but you don't know until the opportunity comes. That's what you got to realize. And then we have to choose to be a good testimony. I'm on this one now. What does it mean to be a good testimony? It means this one thing. No throwing pearls out there. No throwing pearls. Don't throw your pearls before the swine. How do you know you're throwing them before the swine? You know who's really serious about knowing, wanting to know about God, and you know who's not, who's playing with you. I think you would have that much discernment in your life. Because when you start throwing pearls out there, all you're doing is you're inviting the swine to come back and to rend you, to create more trouble in your life. And believe me, I've run into enough of those, been around them, had a lot of them in my midst. And so we have to choose to be a good testimony. That means be light and salt. I mean, when it starts coming back to you that somebody's a bad testimony, how do you feel about that? I mean, how would you feel if somebody in this church is guilty of being a bad testimony? What would be your decree? Okay, let them keep on being a bad testimony? No, you wouldn't want that, and neither do I, because it's not only a bad testimony to the Lord, and to you, but to the preacher. Because I'm the one who's preaching to you, and you're learning from me, and so everything that you do comes back to me. And some people would sometimes just go off in a weird way, and they start doing things that are completely out of character. Actually, they can become demonic even. They throw their pearls before swine, and before you know it, trouble comes back, and you get yourself in a bit real hard place, and then you don't know how to deal with it. Well, I know how to deal with it, so you have to confront it. And let me tell you something. Let me make it very clear. If I have to confront it, you don't get to make the choice. I do. Just make it very clear. So when you come to want to talk to me, say, well, I want so-and-so to bear. You don't get to choose who sits in on the meeting. I do. That's the way it's going to be. If you don't like it, then we'll have to talk about that later. But that's the way it's going to be, because it says in Matthew chapter 18, it says, bring one or two. It doesn't say two or three, it says one or two. So you can bring one, I'd be another, and you'd be even a third one. But it says that in the mouth of two or three witnesses, every word can be established. So we want something to be established because we want a fair judgment. And when I got fair judgment and I got evidence of bad testimony, then I got really the evidence I need to deal with something. See, I have files on all of you. You like that? I'm sorry. I keep them. I jot them down. I go back and look at them now and then. Doing good, improving, changing, growing, maturing. Uh-oh. Oh, my goodness. Something's not right with this one. Well, let me get on here. Psalms 119, verse 63. I've already emphasized just a little bit about choosing your associations wisely. I'm a companion of all them that fear thee and of them that keep thy precepts. So choosing who you associate with is very important. So you have to choose very carefully. Those who fear God, who keep the precepts, the laws of God, the truth, the principles. Like he said in Psalms 119, verse 30. I laid thy word before me. The truth. That's what I'm going to aim to keep. And so when you're going to be associating with certain people, whether they're on Facebook or Netflix or wherever they are, I don't care. You better be sure that they are on the right relationship with God, or else you better just keep them out. I didn't mean Netflix. That just came out. That tells you how much I know about social media, because the only thing I'm on is Twitter. And the only reason I got on that is when I went to Israel so I could give information back to you. That's all I did there. I would never get on Facebook, don't want to be on there, because I don't want these stool pigeons out there trying to get into my life. But anyways, we have to choose very carefully and very wisely. I mean, he even says that over in Timothy, does he not? Is it 2 Timothy? It tells us to flee and to follow. 2 Timothy chapter 2 and verse 21, if a man therefore purge himself from these, he shall be a vessel unto honor, set apart and meet or qualified for the master's use. How many of y'all want to be qualified for the master's use and prepared to every good work? Flee youthful lust. Follow righteousness, faith, and charity, and peace with them that call on the Lord out of their pure heart. So there's instruction right there. I mean, that's not hard to understand. And 2 Corinthians 6:14 tells us about separating from, don't be unequally yoked with the ungodly. And he goes on down and tells us how we need to separate from the ungodly associations. In other words, draw a line in the sand. Say, this is so far, no further. That's what you have to do. You have to make that kind of decision. And one last thing. Hebrews chapter 13 and verse 7. Choose to obey them that have the rule over you. That's not an easy one. Verse 7, remember them that have the rule over you, who have spoken unto you the word of God, whose faith follow, considering the end of their lifestyle. Then verse 17, obey them that have the rule over you and submit yourselves, for they watch for your souls, that they may give account of you, that they may do it with joy and not with grief, for that would be unprofitable for you. Unprofitable. So both times it says those that have the rule over you. See, this is not a dictatorship, but this simply is a loving submission to the God-ordained authority that God has placed here over you as an overseer. That's all I am, an overseer. So that's what you have to surrender to what being said, listen and follow their instruction. That's not hard to do. I mean, some people don't get it right away, and I understand that. Nobody's pushing nobody. But at the same time, that's what God requires of us. And so sometimes things are going to come up that we're not going to like, that have to be dealt with for the sake of the whole body, like it or not. Because when it has to be dealt with, it has to be dealt with. And I'll tell you what, maybe I'll call on you to deal with it. How about that? That'd be an easy out for me. But that ain't what God asked me to do. So these are simple choices we have to make. And they have to be applied every day in our life and every time we meet and every time we're together. Because this is the way God has ordained things. It's good for us. It's not going to hurt it. I mean, we've made it this far, thus far, and the devil doesn't want us to make it further. I'm going to tell you what, the devil is seeking to try to destroy. but he's going to be cut off at the pass. Bow your hearts with me. Father, we thank you for your faithfulness to us as your people, for your continual guidance, counsel, and your wisdom and your truth. And we ask you, Lord, to continue to provide this to all of our lives, especially, Lord, in the instruction to your people and to the oversight of their lives, that it might be at the end profitable to all of them that follow your ways and serve you on your terms. And we thank you, Lord, for what you give us in your word, for the truth that sets us free, and for your continual guidance in this life. In Jesus' name.